I think it was it before you initiated him? Mr. Friedman?
I don't remember.
Right. Right. Here's the seniority. Give permission, Sefer Shmot, Parashat Shmot. So the Ari said in his introduction, on, he was on top of the Ramban. The Ramban 700 years ago writes in his commentary, in this book, thank you. The Ramban writes in his commentary that this book is called the Book of Redemption. But the redemption, says Ramban, is not when we came out of Egypt. The redemption is at the end of the book, Parashat Kudei, the last paragraph or the last chapter of Sefer Shmot, when Am Yisrael built the Mishkan. And when he built the Mishkan, then it's called redemption. So really, coming out of Egypt is just preparation for the redemption. I just say for introduction to understand at the end of the shiur really what the Aris is, what the Ramban really means. So even though it's called the Book of Redemption, you know, people think, you know, after Parashat Beshalach we came out of Mitzrayim, it was, we were redeemed. Some of them said, no. When the Mishkan will be opened, this is called the redemption. So the Elish Mosbe Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim Ha'et Yaakov Yishe V'Tobar. So the Medrash says, if you have Rashi says that we all do know the names of Am Yisrael, and the Torah already in Sefer Bereshit counted them a few times. It's not necessary to tell us and to repeat the names and the counting. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, He loves them very much. He loves them very much in the lifetime and after they died as well. Since already the Torah is going to tell you now that they died, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu so-called wants again to count them and to mention with the name. What does it mean exactly? Because they die, so you don't love them anymore. And if you love them, so you have to count them after they died. So what is the purpose? What Hashem wants us to learn from it, that He counts them and He mentions the name again after they died. It's what says, Et Yaakov, Yishev Tobar, Et Yaakov means we together with Yaakov. So in the Torah you'll find the word with. The Torah uses sometimes as the word et and sometimes as the word in with ayin. So the proper Hebrew that we use in our Hebrew language, if you want to say the people from Israel came down to Egypt together with Yaakov, so nobody uses the word et. So in Yaakov, it says those are the names of Israel that came down to Egypt with Yaakov. But it, again, the Torah says the word with. Sometimes it's et, and here the Torah uses the word et, not him. And the question is, why not him? They came together. Him is so-called the proper thing. By the way, the Gemara says that make the difference between Im with ayin means together, and et, it also means together, that im is it means real tight together, and et means just a company with. So of course, similar explanation means maybe that Yaakov, you know, is the main guy, and they came along with Yaakov, but it's not true. I mean, they all came together. They didn't go over there on vacation. They came down to Egypt, as we remember, because it was a famine, the drought, the famine in Israel, and they came down. The Torah could have used the word im. The Torah again emphasize they came down with Yaakov, but not exactly with Yaakov. It means together with Yaakov, but not tight with Yaakov. And again, you don't have to tell me that. I know. So what did I tell you? I know that they came down with Yaakov. And again, maybe it's the same answer, because people who wants to say Yaakov's name again after he died, maybe. Ishu betov. So again, extinguished means a man and his house. So of course, I mean, in his house. What do you think he left his house? I mean, it doesn't mean the house, it means his family, it means his wife and his children. So of course, they came together. The word ish, it's already extra. You don't need it. לאתו עד נוסיר בן שמונה אביו ויהודה יצחק זמון ונימין לנו פני וגם השם היו כל נפש עשי הרקום של נפש עשי במצרים לאתו עד זה יוסף וזניג'ית אז אוף קורס עוד החכמים והמדרש החכמים זה אוף קורס אנבינו יוסף וזניג'ית So Chachamim tell us what it means is the following, that Yosef is saved on the same level that he was while he was a shepherd for his father, he is in the same level of holiness as a king of Egypt. He says, what's the difference? Why did you tell me that? It doesn't make any difference to me. I said, what Torah wants to give a good mark for Yosef for his holiness? What this has to do right now, that we're going to count on Israel to come down in time, he says, you know, Yosef is, Baruch Hashem, is very, very holy. But it doesn't matter. Hayamot Yosef, v'chol lecha, v'chol adahu, they all died. Eventually, of course, everybody died. Uvnei Yisrael paru v'yishtatsu v'yivu 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 What it means on the streets in Egypt, the Medrash says, you couldn't find a person. Every second face on the street was a Jew. Sounds like New York already. Since everybody's there, so therefore the following paragraph is that the Egyptians are very afraid of us. And it's very strange. I guess I have to say bracha. Oh, what? Tell me again. תראה מי אחריו? ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהים מלך העולם שהכל נהיה משה, somebody died in his family, so we went
Rabbi, I'm here next week.
I'm going to serve for one day. Anybody wants to come along with me?
I hope I can go with you.
Go Wednesday, we come back Friday morning.
I hope I can go with you.
Alright. היה כל מלך חדש על מצרים אשר לא ידע את יוסף, יא צ'פטר 1, סנטנס 8, מיסר אלברט. זה ביקוד מעט נימו, אני סור מיסר. אוי ואוי. אני צריך להגיד את זה עם שוז. זה גאי ביחד, הוא יודע.
סורי.
אז הנוקים, מחלוקת לגמרא, וצנוקים, או הנאול קינג, זה רק פריטנד אשר לא ידע את יוסף, ידעת לא יוסף. ויאמר על עמו, הנה עם ישראל multiply so much, אבל נתחכמה לו, we have to get rid of the Jews. ונרבה, עם ישראל are going to multiply so much, והיה כי תקרן המלחמה, might be a war in Egypt, and the Midrash says there was a conflict between Egypt and what we call Ethiopia today. כי תקרן המלחמה, might be a war, ונוסף גם הוא על רצוננו, The Jews might leave us and join the enemy against us. It's very strange, very strange. Usually in the history, Jews never fought. Jews usually, they like, you know, to have quiet life. I mean, I don't mean in Manhattan, you know, arrested over there and how, you know, but I mean, you know. A Jew never wants to join a war. He's not interested in a war. The Jews in Mitzrayim, the Midrash says, Baruch Hashem, all of them had businesses as usual. And that was very, very successful people. And there's no reason to say that if Chas v'Shalom, he says, will be a war between Egypt and another country, the Jews, all of a sudden, will join the enemy against us. He meant it. It's not that the Torah says that the guy was just making it up, or it's an illusion. Paul really meant it. He says, the Jews might, Chas v'Shalom, join our enemy. He says, why do you think like this? First of all, they don't know how to fight. They have no souls, they have no God, there's nothing. And they're not saying anything. Why should they fight you? Because you have a conflict with another country, the Jews will join the other country against why? Why should they? Nobody raised for vice president over there. And I think more I love, but if the Torah writes it, so must be true in that statement, just didn't make it up. So the question is, why? What happened? So must be the Jews might do such a thing. Very, very strange the Jews will do such a thing. Very strange. Why should they? I mean, they shouldn't. They have nothing against the Egyptians. Opposite. The Gemara said that the Jews loved the Egyptians because the Egyptians granted them with a visa and the time of the famine with Yosef, and they really appreciated the Egyptians. They had no fights over there. There's no conflict. There's no conflict. So why you should think that the Jews will do the opposite? The Gemara says you have to appreciate and remember somebody does a favor to you, and the Jews always get the Torah tells you. Look at Tayyip Mitzri. Here right about all. The Torah says it's one of the mitzvot Lotar says. It doesn't matter. The Torah says even though what they did to us, they threw our children to the Nile, and etc. The Torah says it doesn't matter. As long as they opened the doors for you, the gates for you, when it was the famine, in the time of Yaakov Avinu, you're never allowed to hate them. Never allowed to hate them. So power things, and we're going to join the enemy Russian. It's no reason to think like this. You have to have a base for it. I mean, there was not even JDA, there was no man of a car, there was nobody there. So they decided to put some kind of officers to give them hard work in order for them not to multiply. It's very strange. It's very strange. I mean, I don't know. In China, they don't want the people to multiply so much. So they have a law. They have a law. You know, if you have more than two children, the government will put you in jail. I'm not so familiar. But you don't go and take the Jewish people and make them slaves, and it says you have to be on the site day and night, a lot of you not to go home, a lot of you not to multiply. I mean, if you don't want to multiply, so there's a lot of ways, but you don't go and make them slaves for that. You don't tell them you have to sleep on the site, not to go home. So the Gemara says was the opposite, so they used to come to the site, so they multiply again. So what do you think the Egyptians did not think about it? So you want to separate men and wife because you don't want them to have babies. So he said, the man, you sleep on the side. So the lady is going to come to the side. What do you think? She won't see the husband. So the Egyptian was very smart. They were the smartest country, I think, ever. I mean, the wisdom of the Egyptians, I don't think anybody reached afterwards. Even Shlomo HaMelech, they were the smartest ever. So what's the idea? He says, they don't want to multiply. They don't want to fly. So you meet Gizel. Oh, I don't know what you're going to do. So send them to Siberia. But you don't to make people slaves in order for you to sleep on the side, not to have children. It doesn't make sense. Abraham is coming to the Midrash says, in one version, the Tao didn't even need those storage houses. Just, you know, he wanted to keep the Jews busy. We're talking about millions of Jews. We're not talking about maybe 100,000 Jews. Millions of Jews. Millions. Millions of Jews, Tao had to give them labor, and they worked for nothing, of course, but to build things that you don't even need. And the purpose of that construction company is just to separate you from your wife. It didn't help, of course, because there's a Gemara says, so the men did not come home, so the ladies used to come to the site and stay in the site. So, of course, in Israel, they got disgusted. It was harder work. They wanted to accomplish it by giving them a harder work. They gave them a hard thing. And they said, "We will give them a hard thing." They gave them a hard thing. So one day the Midrash says, "I'm coming to Zion." The Midrash says that they saw in a dream that they saw a scale in his dream, and he saw all the smart people, the magicians, standing on one side of the scale, and the other side they saw a Jewish boy with a little kippah. And Kumar said, aha. He says, look at the scale. He says, then the boy stands on the other side of the scale, and the scale shows that he is winning. He gets up in the morning, called up all the magicians, says, that's the end of Egypt. He says, Mashiach is coming, Moshe is the Mashiach. And he doesn't know his name is Moshe, but he says, the Jews are going to have now Moshe. And he's going to be born right now. And therefore comes in a sentence and it's a scene. It says he called up the midwives right away in the morning. He says, listen, when you help the ladies to give birth, it says if you see it's a baby boy, kill him. So the reason is because of the dream, and the dream of course was right, that it's going to be a Mashiach very soon. Moshe was not born yet. So right now the Gemara says, and he says, you kill the boys. Only a Jewish boy. Later is going to say all the boys, and the magicians will tell him that today he was born, So then he's going to say, so Paul's going to ask him, so who is this? Who is the Mashiach? Is it a Jew? Maybe he's going to be an Arab who's going to convert. So then Paul came another to the Nile and said, everybody has to be thrown into the Nile because Mashiach was born today. They threw all the babies to the Nile on that day. But right now, he called up the midwives. And he said, please it's machloket, if he told them to call all the other midwives, or they were the main ones, to kill all the boys. But he said to them, give me your permission, that I don't have the Elohim, and I don't have the Elohim, and I don't have the so-called head of Shammai, the head of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they did not do what the king of Egypt told them. Of course, they should be. Which midwife, Jewish midwife, would listen to an Egyptian cruel person that he tells her to kill a Jewish baby? The Torah says the reason they did not kill because they were so-called heavy Rat Shamayim. So if they wouldn't, they would. ויקרא מלך מצרים ולמדות אליו ולמדות ופרעה כל דתו מדוויים את יוכבד אל מרים או יוכבד ולישב המחלוקת נגמרה ויאמר להם מדוע עושים דבר הזה so what did you do it? חטא הילדים, it's not only that you did not kill them, the Gemara says that those two midwives, Yocheved and the daughter Miriam, used to go around and collect food and water to give to the poor Jewish ladies that gave birth at home. Because usually, you know, if you gave birth and you took the baby, you put him in the stroller, you walk around, and even if you don't have money, people on the street sees you, they see you, and they give you some food. Since Pharaoh made the Gezerah that you cannot have baby boys, so they stayed home. So they stayed home, they had no food. So Yocheved and Miriam used to go and bring them food. So how do you bring the food? They used to get to the rich ladies, Jewish rich lady, and used to collect. And that's what Pharaoh is upset. Again, of course, you have to remember the Torah is not a history book and not a story book. And so what do you have to know all these things? So Pharaoh asked him, how come you not only did not kill the boys, I see that I heard it, and maybe he had some informs. They told him that they supply food to them. The ladies, before we come, are ready to give birth. So Rashi says really what they told him, that they told him that Yaakov Avinu, when he gave a blessing to the Shvatim, blessing Parasha, he compared the Shvatim to animals. And usually animal doesn't need a midwife. So that's the way they speak to Paro. They said to Paro, listen, it's very strange. So I don't know if I would be Paro asking, so what is your job? But that's what they told Paro. You should know the ladies are like animals. They give birth before the midwife comes. So therefore, we could not come. Okay, fine. But Paro also asked them, how come you gave them food? And they didn't answer it. Paro said, I have information that you supply food to those ladies. I saw your truck. It's called Tom Cheshabbat. It says the truck drives around and give food. Excuse me, so I understand. But if it's the if they're animals don't get Tom Cheshabbat. Animals go on the street to look for food. I didn't see you go on the street, the ladies. So there's no answer. I mean, I'll ask two questions. Question number one, how come you didn't kill the baby boys? The second question is, how come you supply food to them? So they said, okay, we don't know who is the boy or the girl, because by the time we came, she gave birth already. Okay, what about giving food? No answer. And the other says, it's a joke. I mean, the Torah would not tell you a joke. I says, Paro asks you in a serious thing. He says, I have information, you don't kill the babies. So they say, listen, Paro, before we come, the lady gives birth. Okay, it's possible, okay. So, EMS, you know, by the time they come, the man already, the person already. But you can't say that they're like animals. You can't say that. You can't. It's Paro is a serious person. You can't say, listen, They don't need us because they are animals. Animals don't need midwives. Are you serious about it? It's your job. I mean, it says in the telephone book, in the yellow pages, it says, you have a midwife. So who are you midwife for? Это Велуким нам Ядот Баир Абрама Ятмум его до Кадош Бауху Дегмараши Дезатуажиса это Кадош Бауху Пейдем. Пейдем. И Пейдем. What do you have to pay them? Maybe you pay them because they supply food, maybe. Ваихи Аллах Мазал Лукима Саматим Дегмараши says that the Кадош Бауху better at that moment Yocheved and Adur to Miriam, that Aaron and Moshe, it's Kohen and Levi will come from Yocheved, and David Melech comes from Miriam. Okay, I mean, I don't understand the connection exactly. Just because I supply food or I did not kill the baby boys, so I will have the merit that my son or my great-grandson will be David Melech. But this has to do with the thing I didn't kill any baby boys, therefore my grandson will be David Melech. Chapter 2 with your permission, may I wish to be covered by the Viva Tarasha and the Viva Toki Tokas and Spanish Shayahim, which is Yocheved gave birth to Moshe. All of you know, she could not hide him anymore, but the Egyptians, the Gemara says the Egyptians counted days when she was remarried to Amram after Amram separated from her. So now, but he caught her by Gomez, she took her in a little box. Rubber, but after Rabbi Chemaro was up, and she put some soil and some tar from outside. But after that, she put Moshe in the box on the Nile. But it's a tzavach to me, how can I make it? So also, Miriam stands to see what's going to happen. But then, after all the chotzer home, she goes down to wash herself. The Gemara says she wants to so called to wash herself. From the Avodah Zarah, from idolship, and she had some servants. She sees the back, she takes the back. She sees Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a Jewish God. But some of you told about who are going to come to the He says yes. His sister comes. Says, would you like me to bring a lady, a Jewish lady, to nurse him because he doesn't want to nurse from non-Jewish ladies? Go. She goes and she calls, of course, Moshe's mother, Yocheved. So the daughter of Pharaoh, Bitya, his name is Bitya, that says, Sevdivrei Amin, not Batya, and says, please go take the baby, nurse him, and he's in Israel. But the guy said, I have it with you have to take the baby, and she nurses him. Yagdala Yeled, Moshe grew up, the question how old he was, but he lived at Paro. She brought him to the daughter of Paro, Bayin Laleven. I said, all of a sudden the Torah tells you that when Yocheved brought back Moshe, to the daughter of Paro, the Torah says, that this Moshe is like a son. What is like a son? What do you mean? You made papers, adoption papers. But even in Laban, what does that mean? I mean, she found him. I understand she found him. Okay, fine. So now, he's back in the palace. So it's her son. It's her son. It's our son. But it's another son. He wasn't ready for adoption. Bitya, yes. Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. No. No. He married her. Yeah, that's her. She came out of Egypt and Khaled married her. Peter says her name is Batya. The rabbi says Vitya, not Batya. But he crashed from Moshe, but came in a mind you. So she gave him a name. So from the Gemara, the Midrash, they all say that Moshe had a different name, of course, and says he's now, it's 3 months. Now it's not even 3 months. Now it's maybe two, maybe four. It's a question, how old is he now when he gets back to the palace? So now, she gives him a name. Excuse me, the man, Moshe has a birth certificate and a passport. It says over the different names. Either Yekutiel or Tuvia. Yered, Avigdor, a lot of names, the Gemara says. I says, what she has, of course, I mean, I understand she saved him, fine, she saved him. So, to give him a name, he has a name already. I says, what do you mean you give him a name? Oh, you want to add a name, She has two names. The Gemara says, yes, Moshe has, ten names. So she's 11. You don't give her the privilege to call him a name. You know, now they call him Moshe. Of course, she was holy. She converted. Then she, like the Maskil said, she's going to marry Kalev and Yefuneh. She's holy. But still, why his name is because she called him. Especially she has parents, and the parents called him a name. So, Moshe is a better name. So, but she said he was a man Mishkatim, which is. I took him out of the water, so, okay, it's a big deal, so. Ha'iba yamim ha'ayim, sentence 11, with your permission, Moshe already, Begdal Moshe betzir l'chav, again, machlok at how old he was, maybe 20, maybe 12. Betzir l'chav, ha'yarim sotam, he says, he helped the Jewish people, ba'yarish mitzrim ha'kesh, yitrim ha'chav, he says, an Egyptian person hit a Jewish man, if you go ha'yarkinish, he looked around, or he saw that nothing will come out from this person, from the Egyptian, he killed him. The Tibet machine goes outside in the second. The Mishnah and the Shimi bring the team. It's not talking about Iran fighting. Two brothers are fighting. So it's normal. It's normal. So comes the Medrash, he says, that who are those people? It's not talking about Iran. He says, which one? Those are the people in Parashat Beshalach are going to leave from the man. That Moshe is going to tell them, listen, you're not allowed to leave man from one day to the next. And those are the ones that left. I mean, they, you don't tell me that. They said, who are the people? He says, the Torah doesn't say who they are. Okay, you know who they are. What's the name? That's Tamar Abiram. And he says, no, I want you to know. Those are the people also that when Moshe is going to tell them tomorrow is going to be man from Shamayim, and Hashem said, don't leave from one day to the next, those are the people that are not going to listen. He says, what does it make? At Tamar Abiram, I know who the Tamar Abiram was. I know who they are. By the way, Darid says they remember Moshe from the war before. That's why they're against Moshe. They already had a fight with Moshe in the war before. I mean, not this universe, the universe before this universe. But again, they made us emphasize, those are the people now that are fighting between themselves. Those are the people that are not getting listened to Moshe by leaving over man from one day to the next. Also comes the Gemara and says, that Moshe did not see really that Datan hit Abiram. He only saw that Datan is ready to hit him. He raised his hand. Comes the Gemara with a statement and says, Moshe called the guy Rasha. He says, Rasha. He says, you Rasha. And he says, Damatakirecha. I said, the other guy is also Rasha. You both no good. So I understand and why they're no good. They both are wicked. He says, okay, why is he wicked? Because he tried to hit his brother. So, I don't understand. Okay, he tried. So, I don't understand. By trying, you don't get any punishment. No government will punish you because you tried. Either you did or you didn't. Just by trying. I mean, you tried to do something. I tried to hit him. Did you hit him? I didn't hit him. So Moshe called him wicked. Something came out with a statement. You should know that if that person that tried to hit another person comes to court and he wants to testify in the court will not accept his testimony. It's because it's called wicked. So Rasha, Pasul Eidut, he says you cannot testify in court unless you call so-called a straight person. He says, are you not straight? So I'm not straight. So I had a fight with somebody and I raised my hand. I didn't hit him. I just raised it. I just raised my hand on him. I says, raise your hand, Pasul Eidut. It says, like, it's called Rasha. It's called wicked. So, in some of the Gemara says, listen, Mr. Datan, nobody is going to believe you on court. I says, why? Because you raised your hand. So I didn't do nothing. You know? There's a list of people that are not to be believed in court. But they did something. But not this guy did not do anything. He just raised his hand. So the Gemara says, true. Even before you hit your friend, before you hit your fellow Jew, you already called a wicked man. If you see a person on the street, raise his hand. He did not do nothing. He just he threatened him. Doesn't matter what it is. Already finished. What finished? So Datan tells him, who are you? He become over here a judge. Are you going to try to kill me like Shang Tam Tzir, like the way you killed yesterday the Egyptian? ויראה משה ויאמר השם נודע דבר. some Moshe comes and says, now I understand something I didn't understand before. Why the Jewish people suffer so much? He says, I know why. Because this man. So where is this man? The Gemara is going to tell you that the next day, or the same day later, they're going to send an email to Paro, and they tell Paro, you know, this Egyptian officer died yesterday, and he fell dead. It's because Moshe said abacadabra on him, and he said a magic word, and he fell dead. He was healthy, he didn't have no heart attack, they made a biopsy on him, healthy. He said, don't know, he fell down dead. He said, you know why he was dead? Moshe killed him. He said, but now, Moshe, they didn't do anything yet. They only told Moshe a statement. He says, who are you to tell me what to do? So Moshe comes up with a statement. He says, now I figure it out. Well, what do you figure out? I know that the Jewish people are slaves. Is it because of what? Because that man tried to hit another Jew. Because of this, you are here in Egypt? Moshe said that I think they deserve it. He came with this final statement. I thought till now, maybe, you know, it's just anti-Semitism. I says, no, they deserve it. They deserve what? Because he tried to hit him. Or because he said that you killed somebody. He was right. You killed somebody, he's afraid you can kill him. It's true. I says, if you mind somebody else's business, so, I saw yesterday that you mind somebody else's business, you killed him. I'm afraid you're going to kill me, so he said the right thing. Shema Paro to the Barazet, Paro heard, eventually he got the email. The Bakesh Ogit Moshe wants to kill Moshe because Moshe killed the officer. Moshe wants to Midian, and he sits on the well over there. So the Gemara says, why is he sitting on the well? He says he was, this is the Gemara says he was already 40 years king in Cush, now he's 67 years old, 66. He says now he gets over there to Midian, he sits on the well. He says, why are you sitting on the well? He says, looking for Shidduch. He says, why are you looking for the Shidduch? He says, my great-grandfather Yaakov also found the Shidduch on the well. And it's not true. Yaakov was told before he left that he should go and find the Shidduch. And Yaakov was told who is the Shidduch. Yaakov was told that is his cousin, Rachel, Leah, whoever it was, should be his shidduch. So when Yaakov arrived to Haran, he went over there and says, because the girls come over there to without reason. So it was a hangout place, maybe, I don't know. So maybe it was the train station. But Yaakov goes there, but Yaakov had an idea who he's going to marry, because his father told him where to go to. He says he wants to know where. And that's what the Torah says. When Yaakov arrived over there, he asked the shepherd, do you know Rachel? He knows already that he wants to marry Rachel. He knows that's not Rachel, sorry, he knows that Laban. He asked him, do you know Laban? So he knows already, but Moshe doesn't know anybody. It's Midian. Midian is next to Iraq, someplace. It's in Jordan, someplace. He says, it's in Jordan, Iraq. So he came down over there, says, where are you going, Moshe? He says, I'm going to Midian. He says, where are you going to the well? He says, where are you going to the well? Because I'm looking for Shidduch. Look, Shidduch at the well. Why are you looking at the well? The grandfather went to the well, he didn't go to the well to find the Shidduch. He went to the well to find the address. He didn't go to the well to find the Shidduch. Maybe Eliezer, but Eliezer again was a trick or something, but again, Moshe should not go to the well to look for Shidduch. It's not a hangout place. Happened to me that this Yitro had seven girls, and they were the shepherds because the Yitro was one from it, or he used to worship with idols, and now he doesn't, and the people over there said that nobody should work for Yitro, so he cannot get shepherds, so the girls are the shepherds. Happened to me that they came. But they came and they drew water. They're ready to give water to their sheep. By Yavor Arimei Gashum, so the shepherds came and chased them away. And the reason is because they don't want to have Yitro as a resident of that city anymore. So Moshe goes over and he helps them. So again, he minds somebody else's business now. And that is going to cause what the Mamadobatim said, they come back home or to the grandfather, to the father, Machloket, said, ask how come he came so early? But the man says an Egyptian person came and saved us. So the Gemara says the shepherds not only did not let them to have water, they threw them inside the well. and Moshe saved him. Gam Darod Alanu, also Moshe drew water, Be'yashka Tatson, he gave the sheep to drink. Tava Yoy says, where is he? They told the father that the water came up towards Moshe, he didn't have a hard time to throw water. He says, please call the guy right away. He says, he is a grandson of Yaakov. And if he's not? The Gemara emphasized that Yitro, I don't know, it was known in Egypt, because Yitro lived in Egypt. Yitro is really an Egyptian person. Yitro is 10 generation from Ham. So he knows the history, and he knows when Yaakov came down to Egypt, Yaakov gave a blessing to Paro, that every time Paro used to come to the Nile used so-called to jump towards Paro. Huh? To Paro, yeah. So, because Yaakov gave a blessing, so Yitro figures out now. He says, you know what? He says, that Egyptian person that you say, that he was able to draw water for your sheep very easily because the water came toward him, he must be Yaakov's grandson. Therefore, call him right away. But he wants his daughter to get married to a Jew. I said, that's the problem. So it's nothing to do with Yaakov. Who cares about Yaakov? He says, the man is a very nice person. He came to the well. He doesn't know you. He saved you. He gave water to your sheep. So if you think the man is going to be a good son-in-law, so I say, okay, fine, get the man. You know, let's eat, sit him at the table, and let's see. But you don't say, listen, I want this guy to be my son-in-law because he's Yaakov's grandson. So what? Because Yaakov was smart, and Yaakov was holy, that Yitro cares about it. I don't know what this clock is running so fast. It's always like this. Yeah. I didn't finish even a quarter of the question. Sentence, if you skip to sentence 23 with your permission, Ebenim Rabim Ma'im, Moshe lived in Midian by his father-in-law. Yamut Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, died. It's Mahloket if he died, or he just got Tzarat, and he used to slaughter 300 babies every day and take a bath in the blood. It said it says he had a skin disease, a Tzarat. Yanchuv Yisrael Na'avodah V'Hizaku Am Yisrael sighed and screamed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Batar Shabbatah Min HaElokim Min HaAvodah. So the screaming came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayishma Elokim Et Na'avatam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did listen and heard the screaming by Yisrael Elokim Et Betor. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the treaty that he made with Avraham Yitzchak Et Yaakov, Vayar Elokim Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized something, I don't know what, Vayeda Elokim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he has a heart for them and he did not close his eyes. Very strange statement. I'm going to go just for one more thing with your permission and then we go back. I think Moshe is going to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days to take the position. He doesn't want to take the position. Back and forth, the Midrash says, well, he has a reason. He doesn't want his brother Aaron, that he's older than him, to get insulted, but Ed Hashem doesn't leave him alone. He says, go, finished. I'm fed up with you. So he goes, and if you skip to chapter 4 with your permission, sentence 22. I said, when Hashem tells me, you go already to Egypt, and you go and you meet Paro, ואמרתה אל פרעה כאמר השם בני בכור ישראל, go tell Paro that my son is Yaakov, that he is the Bechor. But it has to do anything, no? But it has to do anything. It says, once was so-called a transaction between Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov wurde Bchora, here comes Hashem and tells Moshe, go to Paro and tell him, you know who is the oldest in the family? My son, Jacob. I said, what has happened? What are you talking about? You're going to ask him to release the Jews. I don't know if he's going to release not going to listen. But there's nothing to do with this discussion or with the argument or with the disagreement about this sale of the Bechura from Esav to Yaakov. What does it have to do with Paro? Amar Elecha, I told you, sentence 23 with your permission, Shalachat Nivi Avduni, please send my son. And my son should worship me, but if you're not going to do it, you're not going to listen. יחד בבנך בחורך, מכת בחורות. היי בדרך במלון, שם לפרמה יהיה so called a side story. היי בדרך במלון, שם זה גמרא, and the גמרא explains the following. גמרא says that since הקדוש ברוך הוא told Moshe to go to Egypt right away, and he had a baby. He had a baby as a machloket. Who was the baby? If it's Gershom or Eliezer, Atman or the baby. You know, how can it be a machloket? Because over here it says already before that Moshe has already two children. But that's what Rabbi Gershom says. But maybe because Gershom was not allowed to be to have Mila in the in Yitro's house. Because it was the net Moshe to do with Mila to Gershom. Anyway, Moshe in the hotel. Moshe came to the hotel. So comes the Gemara and says the following. Since Moshe did not do Brit Mila either to Eliezer or Gershom, and the reason he doesn't do Brit Mila is because Moshe knew that you're not allowed to do Brit Mila and then go on a trip. He's not going on a trip on an airplane. He says to go on a donkey. In the desert, you're not allowed to take a baby after he does Brit Mila because it's dangerous for the baby. So therefore, Moshe had a question what to do. Either to do Brit Mila and delay his going to Egypt, or to go to Egypt and he'll do it on the way. He will come to on the way, halfway, and he's going to meet Aaron because Aaron has to come, and so he's going to sit down in the hotel, he's going to do Brit Mila on the other side. So then he came to the hotel, and that's sentence 24, by Bader Bamalon. So Moshe arrived in the hotel. Arrived in the hotel, and he made the decision he is not allowed to do Brit Mila and delay his going to Egypt, so he's going to do the Brit Mila on the way. So he came to the hotel, and Gishir Hashem Vakesh Hamito, says, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel, and an angel wants to kill Moshe. He says, why he wants to kill Moshe? He says, the Gemara, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came into the hotel, he went to the receptionist and he asked the receptionist, would you have an empty, you have a room here? And the receptionist says, I do. So Moshe said, okay, let me go upstairs and put the suitcases in the room. He goes in the elevator, he pushes down the elevator, a snake comes from the elevator and try to swallow Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Atzala, Atzala, Atzala. And everybody come to run, and his wife came right away, and his wife understood Zipporah that he, the reason is Moshe is going to be choked by the snake is because of Brit Mila. And then Torah says, "Vatikach Zipporah." So what you have to know about the story. So the story is that Zipporah realized that the reason is Moshe is going to die because the snake attacks him is because Moshe did not do the Brit Mila. So the Gemara, what do you want from the guy? What do you want from the guy? He just came to the hotel. Well, I tell you what. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he arrived in the hotel, at the receptionist, he should have taken off the diaper from the baby. And he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam, Asher Tzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzadzad
Jesus.
But for this you kill Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, he's the Mashiach. Not only this, the Gemara says Moshe does have the donkey of the Mashiach. The Tzipporah, the two children, he put them on the donkey of the Mashiach, says the Gemara, it's not a regular donkey. This is a donkey that Abraham Avinu had, talking about Yitzchak, That's the exact donkey of the Mashiach. High some place, maybe Albert Nisabas, you can find him. It's worth a lot of money. More than 50 billion. This is Moshe the Mashiach. And now, because he, not that he did not do Brit Milah, because he went first to put the packages, the suitcases, in his room. It affects by Malon Tchila Kram de Gemara. For this, you're going to kill Moshe. He's the Mashiach. After Hashem, for 7 days, is trying to convince him to go, and Hashem said, you got to go, you got to go, you're the Mashiach, run, run. I says, now Hashem's going to kill him because what? Because a few minutes he went to see upstairs the hotel. I think I'll stop here with your permission. Ari says like this. It's based on the Zohar. Since the Zohar says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu upstairs has two entities. It says like a boy and a girl, a son and a daughter. It says we find in the Torah very strange, Ari says. It says there are two people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu named them in the Torah. It's Yitzchak and Yaakov. I says before Yitzchak was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham Avinu that the boy is going to be named Yitzchak. And when Yitzchak gave birth to Yaakov, also the Torah says, Vayikra Shmo Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karo Yaakov. Hashem told Yitzchak, you call him Yaakov. By the way, David HaMelech also named Shlomo Shlomo, but it's not his name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the David says, called Shlomo Yedidya. Nevertheless, David HaMelech called him Shlomo. This was a disaster. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to call Yitzchak Yitzchak. He says, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak is not a good name. In school, the boy comes, what he names is Yitzchak. You call him Johnny. You call the boy Johnny. Oh, you know, you have a star, you know, basketball star, you know. So you call him a good name. You don't call him Yitzchak. It sounds Jewish, you know. Tony. Ike, yeah. Shmuel also, yeah. Yeah, the angel. Right, not the same. Yeah, the same thing with Yaakov. Hashem tell Yitzchak, you call, the, Yaakov is the guy's name. So what does it make? I don't know what Hashem wants exactly. What difference does it make? So Abraham is going to call him, whatever he calls him, must call him, big deal. So what difference does it make? So you have a baby boy, so can you imagine the rabbi comes and he says, listen, the baby's name, that's the name of the baby. He says, no, my wife doesn't want it. She had a grandfather, a neighbor, you know, a cousin, somebody, you know, a business partner, she wants to name him. So what is this? What kind of business is this? Hashem forces the name on Abraham, forces the name on Yitzchak. So now he says, the first person really that we have information is HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him a name as to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we read before, Bni Bechori Israel Shalach El Bni. I said HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Yaakov as his son. What it means is like this, I don't tell you to name your son because I want your son to be called Yaakov. I don't care less what you call your son. But the custom is that the father gives a name to the son, the Brit Milah. That's the custom. The guy that says the bracha, the rabbi says the bracha, says the father, what's the baby's name? The father tells him. And so the father has so-called authority and the power to name his son. And says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us something. So the Zohar, that Yaakov is not Yaakov. Yaakov is considered the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you go to Paro, tell Paro, Bni Bechor Israel. See, you don't understand Paro. I want to explain to you, soon I need to explain what it means. But that's the first statement, and that's really the key for this week's parasha, and the key for the whole book. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not relate himself to Yitzchak and Yaakov as, you know, it's the son of Abraham and the grandson of Abraham. It's much deeper than that. It says, Bnei Bechor Israel. It says, I want you to release the Jewish people from Egypt, from slavery, because it's my son. It's my son. This is the first time, and almost the only time that Hashem refers to somebody as a son. By the way, David HaMelech in Tehillim, Bnei Ata, Aniraticha, he calls the Mashiach also the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that comes to the Gemara with a statement that this is the highest level. But it's the highest level that you need to be released from certain obligations or certain bad decisions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means like this. Gemara says a person, when he does what Hashem wants exactly, is called the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he doesn't, then he's called a slave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a difference. A difference is the Gemara, you know, from a king there's no mercy. You know, you know, if you work for a king, you work for the government, so you can ask mercy. You won't get mercy. There's a book, there's a law, and you have to comply with the law. You do it, fine. You don't do it, you get the ticket. I said, but let's assume, I said, let's say the policeman is your father. So if the policeman caught you, that you did not comply with the law, so then he won't give you a ticket. It's your father. It's your father. So the idea is, in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us to be his children, this is what it means is to undo gezerot, or to undo bad decisions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's almost impossible, unless you change the entity. Before you were a slave, now you're the son. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, shukran. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he calls Yaakov as his son, and that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, you got to go to power and tell him that. So that's the whole key. So even though David says, that's how it starts, that we have a gezerah from Abraham Avinu, that the people told Abraham Avinu, you know, your children are going to be slaves, and they're going to be tortured, and they're going to go to exile, and you see, nothing happened. This is when the whole thing really started. When all died, and the new generation came. When the generation came, said the Gemara, so what happened now? I said, I tell you the difference. Until Yosef and all the Shvatim were alive, Am Yisrael used to brit milah for the children. The minute Yosef died and his brothers, they stopped the brit milah. So brit milah is what makes you to be the son of Hashem. That's the power of brit milah. This is one of the signs that you're a Jew. This is a brit milah. But it's not a sign like you have a stamp or a certificate, you're a Jewish. It is not a Jew, you're the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, until Yosef and his brother died, nothing happened in Egypt. Of course, we were in exile, true, but no bad things happened to us. No slavery, no torturing, no throwing babies into the Nile. Why? Because we have the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The minute you cancel it, that's what the tragedy is. So really, what the Torah wants to teach you is something else. It says, the Elish Mubni Torah Min Tzrayim. I says, okay, let me tell you something. Let's say you read the parasha now. Those are the names of the children of Yaakov. He says, what do you mean? Let me tell you something. The names were given by the mothers, Rachel, by Rachel, by Leah. It says, you know, Reuben, Shimon, Levi. It says, the Torah told you the reasons why the names. Because no, you don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going now, this parasha, so-called, to take the same name and say, that is the name of Mr. Reuben. It's true. Your mother called you Reuben because of a reason. She called you Shimon because of a reason. And says, I have my own reason. Your name really should stay Reuben, but not for the same reason. It's another reason. The mentor says, what's the reason? It's another reason. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did agree with the names that were given by the mothers, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to name them so-called again. Of course, with the same name. But actually, when Hashem names somebody, it means you are the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Torah says. Et Yaakov Yishuv Tovahu, it says, the names of the Shvatim, they come down to Egypt, they came together with Yaakov. Not Im Yaakov, not with Yaakov tied, it says Et Yaakov, accompany with Yaakov. Because Yaakov is with the real son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shvatim is so-called a son, but not as tied and connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a child. They didn't behave exactly all the time the way they should have behaved. but they're not on the same level. They came down, Yosef and his wife, said, Yosef, I want to tell you, Yosef is still holy. The way he was holy when he was a shepherd, the same way he stayed holy as a king in Egypt. What are you trying to tell me? That Yosef is holy? No, I don't trust him. I'm trying to tell you that Yosef is considered the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well that he was called a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu while he was next to his father, the same thing when he's now the king. And that's what Torah tells you, until Yaakov is alive and the children are alive, it is perfect. Not only that, until the 70, almost all the 70 people, they're alive, even though some of them are still alive, it says, Am Israel have no problem in Egypt, they love them, everything is perfect. It says, you have businesses over there, you're very wealthy over there, you're doing fine. It says, okay, this is Israel has to be here, okay, I have to be here, but nothing is wrong with me, I don't have to be a slave, I'm not being tortured, I'm perfect. It says, when they died, Bayamut Yosef al-Harodah, it says, they died. It says, what happened when they died? It says, don't do with me now. Don't do with me now. It means you're not children. You're not children. I tell you what here. You're not children, you have to be a slave. This is the Gemara says. It says, look, you come. It says, listen, I want to explain you something. I don't trust the Jews. You don't trust the Jews? Why? It says, there might be a war and they join the enemy. It says, what are you talking about? The Jew? A Jew never goes. He says, understand. The Jews, just their entity used to be the sons of Hashem, the children of Hashem. Now, they're not anymore. So what do you mean? They don't bring Mila. They don't bring Mila, so you become a slave. You're not, the relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu went down from a son to a slave. Here comes Pharaoh, says Dari, and it's come over the Jewish people, you can be slaves. So what did they do? Nothing. This is your status. Your status in your passport, it says, is not, who is your father? It says, no father. It says, you have now a king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your king. But you're not, there's no relationship as a son to a father. Since you don't keep the Brit Milah, and you don't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father, so you're a slave to the Gemara. In slavery, it says, comes the king of Egypt, and says, for man slavery, and the Torah says, they'll torture you, then he does this, he does that. He's right 100%. I says, what can happen? So comes the Ramban and says the following, and says it's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did promise Abraham Avinu 400 years of slavery and being tortured. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what's going to happen. He says, you're never going to get released from that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said after 400 years you're going to come back if you're on the level of Abraham Avinu. Not if you're a slave. And not if you don't do with Milah. No. Hashem never said he's going to take out of Egypt people without with Milah. Hashem said, yes, you're going to go to Egypt 400 years and you're going to suffer in Egypt. And after 400 years I'll take you. But I'll take you if you are so-called my children. You're not my children. You lost so-called relationship. So I leave you over there forever, says the Ramban, forget about it. Then I'll go out. It says, when they're going to go out, says as well. It says, when this king is going to come and going to slaughter babies, and they're going to walk very hard, and they start screaming and screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, only a son screams to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A slave doesn't scream to the king. The slave is not to scream. I says, you can say whatever you want. I says, this is the law. It's according to the law. You can't ask from the king any mercy. He says, that is the law. So that says, Ari, he says, the Gemara, since I'm interested to scream. I says, oh, okay, fine, now I understand. You want back the relationship. I says, okay, Mamoshi, you go, and you go to redeem them. He says, the Torah, I want to explain to you how important it is, that statement. He says, Moshe goes to the hotel. He comes to the hotel. So he goes over to the receptionist, he said, where is my room? He wants to go to the room. He says, excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to understand. When you walked inside the hotel, you have to say to the receptionist, listen, where is my room? I want to put it in my room. He says, not where is my room? I want to put my packages in the room. I want to see if the room is good for me or not. He says, it's not a sin. He says, the concept of redemption is the concept of being a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it depends on the Brit Milah. He says, how could you, Moshe Rabbeinu, come to the hotel and talk about the hotel? He says, the only reason why you didn't do Brit Milah is because you're afraid that maybe you're down the way, you can do Brit Milah and go on the way. He says, but you arrived in the destination. So what's the destination? He says that the Bilam in his Brachot says, Ari, is that he, when he blessed Am Israel, he says, they're like lions. So what do you mean a lion? He says, they get up very early in the morning, and they put everything in filling, and they do Shacharit right away. I says, Brit Milah, this is the custom that the Gemara says that you do early in the morning, as early as you could, you do Brit Milah. I says, why? I says, because that shows that you are the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the whole concept that the Takadimu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you go to Paro, and you go to Paro this. You go to Paro, raise up Israel, what do you mean to Paro this? Paro doesn't care less, there's no lesson. The Midrash says Paro was very, very smart, a big magician. And Moshe writes to him, and Moshe said, I'm here in the name of God to get the Jews out. So Paro said, excuse me, here I have a calendar, it says 400 years. A magician told me, and I know it from my great-grandfather, that your great-grandfather, Avram, was punished for the children of Christian to be 400 years in slavery. It's only 210 years. So Zareem, Moshe said, it's true, but this is only if we don't have the relationship from a son to a father. But now, since they cried, and they begged the Kadosh Baruch Hu so much, they reach again the level of children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's nothing to do with the 400 years. The 400 years is because the Avraham Avinu did something that the Levitical Gemara says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, for this is 400 years of slavery. But again, if you go even lower, you'll never be redeemed. But if you try to reach higher, you come and you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Gemara says, Sharei Dima Lo Ninalu. When you scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're crying, and you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always listens to you, because then you reconnect, so-called, yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a son to a father. And therefore, he says, that's what we can see in Parashat Bo. But the Gemara says, the all made Brit Milah before they came out of Egypt. This is what Kol Arelu Yochal Bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, there's a trick over here, but they will not be able to eat anything from the sacrifice of Pesach. He says, unless you do Brit Milah. He says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Brit Milah from you? I said, what's the difference? What's the difference? So by the way, the Gemara says, this means if you cannot do it, you cannot do it. Anyway, they're going to have to leave Egypt, and if I can leave Egypt, is Brit Milah. All of a sudden, it's okay. Now he says, no, Brit Milah is necessary. It's necessary to resume the connection from a father to son. I says, that makes you a son. If it makes you a son, there's no desert in you. I says, this is the power of this book, says Ari. It's not what the Rabban says, you know, the redemption is not when we came out of Egypt. It is, but it isn't. This is what it is. This is the Mishkan. It's Beit HaMikdash. When he builds Beit HaMikdash and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, it doesn't come down as you as a slave and he as a king. He will never come and dwell among us. He came and he wants to be next to us because he is like the father and we are the children. So that's what the Torah says. That's how the whole system it goes. It says this Shifa and Pua, it says they don't kill the children because so-called they feel like the mothers. It says if when Moshe sees that this Jewish boy, Jewish man, raises his hand on his friend, it says if you raise your hand on your friend, and he says what it means is like this, that you don't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your father. It says because you are a Jew and he is your brother, it means who is the father? It means the father is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, if you raise your hand on your fellow Jew, it means you don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your father. So again, what it means is that you don't believe in the law, in the statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, that we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore Moshe says that you wicked man. Therefore that man is not to be believed in court by the testimony. He says, because he raised his hand. I said, I didn't hear him. I said, but he raised your hand on what? On a Jew. I said, you don't understand. He raised his hand on a Jew, it means he came with a statement and you say, he is not my brother. He is my brother, but he's not. Because if you don't hate a brother, because his brother means the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't hate, you don't dare to hate the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe you dare to hit somebody, but then somebody says, don't dare. He says, this is the king's son. The king's son, you're going to dare to hit him. It's immediately finished. Therefore, the Torah tells you, and the whole secret of the parasha is just to teach you, to tell you the level you should reach. Because even though we're in Egypt, even though we suffered so much, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden, redemption, Moshe comes. This is why Moshe comes. Moshe comes because of this. And you should know, that's what the Torah says, that but Bitya, the daughter of Pharaoh, when she found Moshe, she said Moshe. She said, the Torah says, Vatachmol alav. She had mercy on Moshe. She said, you have mercy on Moshe, it means you are so-called his mother. So the connection between Moshe and this girl is she considers him as a mother. Therefore, Torah says, when he's being brought back to the palace, that Moshe is considered like her son. I says, why? Because she had mercy. I says, if it's your son, then what Torah says, she named him Moshe. I says, like the father has the power to name his son in the Brit Milah because he's the father. I says, now Moshe got so-called a new father-mother. I says, she acted as the father-mother to him because she had mercy on him. So she put herself in danger by picking up Moshe from this box and take care of Moshe. I says, how do you take care of Moshe? I says, you're the daughter of the king. So the girls that walked around with her told her, beat it, don't do it, don't do it. You get to them to the palace, your father will kill you. Said, leave it alone. Came an angel and killed all those girls besides one girl. And says, now she is so called by doing that act, she made a relationship with him that she is the mother, he is the son. Comes the Torah says, let me tell you, the whole parasha is just to show you what you should drive to have the connection. So no matter what Gezerah it is, doesn't matter who is going to torture you, if you can prove yourself that you're the son of God, Hashem saves you. Hashem saves you even for no reason, just because you scream by Yedai Elokim. Did you hear about the story about Rachel Imenu? Mm-hmm. Oh, you heard it? I thought, did I tell you, let's speak about Shabbat of Stenman? Yeah. Alright, so, Mr. Albert, ready or not, here we are. I investigated the story. The story is very true. From the first source. I think it was Sunday morning, that the army in Gaza, the army in Gaza sent a unit to look around for certain people, and they came, either it was a school or looked like a school, and the girl standing in the front over there and says, don't go inside, don't go inside. So a few of them tried to go from the roof, a few tried to go to the next house, and the same girl is over there also. She said, don't go, the whole thing is explosive. The whole thing is wired with explosive. So the officer asked her, what is your name? Who are you? She said, I'm your mother. My name is Rachel Imenu. And this is, I know it for sure. It's not a story. It's all over the radio and television and newspapers in Israel. They interviewed a guy on the radio and the television that said it. And I know some people that were in the same unit. So it means Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu, the Gemara says, the redemption is because of Rachel. Because Rachel felt that she is the mother. Therefore, the Gemara says that Yaakov had to bury Rachel, if you remember, in Bethlehem, because the children will pass by and she'll pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them to come back from exile. This is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the reason. You have to reach a level that you are considered the son of somebody, not just relationship. So Rachel was considered so-called the mother of Am Yisrael, because Rachel is, of course, the wife of Yaakov, and Yaakov is considered the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this is a proof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he considers us as children. That's the reason the Rambam said, that's called the Book of Redemption. The Book of Redemption means that you are considered children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next week, Rabotai, there's no shiur.
We don't have a shiur next week.
You can have it on the airplane if you want. I'm going for one day to Israel. I'm going Wednesday, coming back Friday morning. Whoever wants to go with me.